Good evening. We'll be in 2 Peter there, starting in verse 5. Before I begin, I'd like to pray, though. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. We thank you for the character of who you are in our lives, in the sense that you have enabled us. Any good that we have is from you. And so I just pray as we're going through this concept of virtue that you would illumine us to the truth and the dependency upon you. And we find our strength in you, not in ourselves. And so we're just going to ask that your Holy Spirit would just do a searching, an awakening tonight to see this for what it is and how you see it. Not because I'm here, but because you're here. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Starting in the second epistle of Peter, and I thought about the concept that it says, well, let me read the text here first. I'll back up a little bit. Verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great precious promises, that though these you may be partakers of, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love." And I thought it was neat. It says to add to your faith. And I'm wondering if Evergreen had the willithal or the money, if we posted out there, "Come to Evergreen this Sunday. We are going to add a $10,000... fixer-upper to your house. Just show up." How many people would come? We have a new app you would like to add for your fancy your iPad or your phone. It's a normally a $100 app. They want you to add that. We'll give it to you free. We probably have some people straggling because they want to add something to some stuff that they already got. Stuff. And here we have Peter saying to add to our faith virtue. This is what we're going to be speaking on tonight, the concept of virtue. And if you back up, it's just this beautiful thing of what God is doing, the giver. God is the giver. If you start in verse, say, 1, God is giving us a precious faith. In verse 2, he is multiplying to us peace and grace. In verse 3, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he goes on to say in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And so all we've seen so far is God giving. He is the ultimate giver. So now as we come into this concept of adding to the faith, which God gives, it's all of him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is now saying, now that you have been saved, now that you have faith in my son, I want you to add to it. And it's not like adding a app to your phone or nothing like that. That's a crude analogy. But this is the substance of our Christian walk. As we start to add these things, and he's going to go on to say, "For if these things are yours," these things he just listed, "and you abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge." These are huge things to walk with Jesus Christ in this little short life that we have, that he's given us. So I don't want to take any step further outside of saying that any of these things that he's going to go on and list are supplied by God himself. This is nothing you're just going to go learn from a 10-step program of how to get virtuous. The Bible does give us wonderful things and characteristics that we can pick up on and But you need to know as a Christian, first and foremost, the day you got saved, you have the ability to say yes to virtue. When you were not saved, the only ability that you had to do, or capable of, was to drink iniquity like water. You could not say yes to virtue. You were by nature corrupt. No good thing dwells in me. But now that we've been saved and that wall's been taken out, that partition of our separation from God, He is giving us this. He's given us the faith. He is multiplying us peace and grace. He has given us everything. He has given us already everything that pertains to life and godliness. And He's also given us great promises. And part of these things is virtue. So you and I need to learn this tonight, that we need to add virtue. This is huge. You know, I'll be honest, I never really studied the concept of virtue. And in studying, it's challenging. And there is the aspect of, yes, God has His part, but there's also my part. In Philippians, you know it well. You know, before I go to Philippians, let me just back up what I just said. You have God doing His part, but then it says, now you add. God's already given, but now you add. Which is it? Do I already have it, or do I have to attain it? And the answer is the mystery of yes. So it doesn't mean we sit in our hammock and we say, God, zap me with virtue. That's not how He does it. But as He outlines it in Philippians 2, it's the very same thing. He is given, and yet we have to add. In Philippians, it words it like this. But it says in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There it is. There's a part that you have to do. And it's going to go on to say, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. Which is it? Is it me working out my salvation? Or is it God working out His will to do in my life? And the answer is the mystery of yes. That's the beautiful thing. How I see it in my mind's eye is I just picture a father and a child walking together in a beautiful relationship as He is nurturing us and bringing us along, like any father, any parent with his child. We're walking together with this, seeking Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be given. So this whole thing begins with faith. Christianity in your life begins with faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there. Everyone who comes to Christ comes as a wicked, condemned, lost sinner with a desperate need to find forgiveness and the ability to live free from the enslaving power of sin. We come to Christ for the removal of sin because we hate it, and now as a Christian, it's the continual removal of this and then putting on, well, tonight would be virtue. What are we putting off in our old sinful lives and putting on? This is the put off, put on concept. You know, the next step in the salvation is that we need to be built up some strength against sin. And this is where learning these attributes of virtue, working out our salvation in fear and trembling. Notice, again, it does not say working for your salvation. Little side note. It's working out what God's already put in. The Christian faith is directed initially towards God. The Christian virtue is directed towards sin. The virtue aspect is a horizontal fight. We are commanded to meditate on things that are virtuous. Philippians tells us, you know, think on these things, the lovely, the pure, the true. And so, the concept of virtue, what is virtue? Let's look at a couple things. The word virtue is an old word. It's really not used much today. Maybe it's too old-fashioned. I don't know. Another word that can be used is excellence or fortitude. Very similar. The definition I found was virtue is a strength, and I like this, a supernatural ability to say no to temptations and yes to right and to good things, and the ability to walk away from temptation. You know, it takes a lot of inner strength to do that because temptation is usually attractive. It doesn't come all ugly. When the drug dealer comes, he's not coming all zoned out and with sores on his arm. And no, he's coming. Everybody's doing it. Here's a free one. First two are free. It just comes attractive. People make it look good, whatever the sin is. And so the concept of virtue is saying no to that, understanding what God says about things in His Word, and the inner strength. And now, I'm not talking humanistic, inner human strength. The strength that we have, it comes from God. It's not bootstrap pulling. It's not, well, I'm just going to work a little harder today in my own strength. Right? The joy of the Lord is our strength as we progress through this. It all comes down to, everything in the Bible that I have found always comes back to the center point of loving God. You love God, it causes this. You love God, it causes that. Because I love God, I want to cast off sin and put on virtue. When I see sin coming, I want to flee. Because God's already told me what that does. It's their relationship with God. That's the heartbeat of this whole thing. And you have my chart there that I put up there. And that's what it is. We're starting off faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all these things. And it's just walking, building, adding to your faith. A lot of Christians just think they can come up and say a prayer and just go back to life as usual. This is the things that God wants us, not some preacher. The preacher is just proclaiming what God wants. This is what God wants in your life. This is what He wants in my life. And these are to be added to our lives. Can't drive it home enough. Found an illustration of a balloon in this next slide. You know, without virtue, you can see the results. The Christian becomes just like the world around it. The pressure, pushing it in. It's fashioned by the pressures and sin and temptations around him. But with virtue, a Christian takes on a new shape. This is formed by the pressure that comes from the inside. A filling of God. As it says, be ye filled with the Spirit. You know, have you ever asked God just for that? He commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever just asked Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And we know that being filled with the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, gentleness. There is the fruit of the Spirit. And so you can kind of see when the world is pressuring on you, compared to when you have the Holy Spirit in you, it expands you, it empowers you. And you can even take the concept of helium, where it lifts you up. It's all coming down to your relationship with God and Him empowering you to be virtuous. But it is you working out your salvation in His strength and His Spirit. You know, there's that concept of with man, there is to be virtuous. There's kind of a manliness in it, in a sense. I think about some of the guys in the Bible that they stood for something. And for women, they stood for something in the Bible. David was kind of a man's man. But he knew right from wrong most of the time. He stood for God. He had the heart of God. His heart was to be righteous before Him. And we can read all about strong women in the Bible. The opposite of virtue is what? Vice. Right? I have a vice. Maybe you have a vice in your life. I just cannot get rid of this vice. And that's the opposite. Virtues are what is right with a person, and vices are simply what is wrong with a person. And we all have them. That's why we're growing in this. Vices can be crimes. Obviously sins, wickedness. And it's when we're dominated by this picture. You know, maybe you have one that's not on there. That's your vice. And the whole concept of what God's saying is He needs to put that off by His strength. We're getting to that a little bit. But I'm just trying to paint a picture here. What is virtue? You know, we draw lines on how far we will go in our day-to-day decisions and what we will do and don't do, but it is vital that we get our decision-making from where? The Bible. Because it says there's a way that seems right in our hearts, that, I think that's the right way to go. It seems right, No. What does the Bible say? This is our source of right and wrong. This Bible lines up perfectly with our conscience. You ever notice that? God, it says in Romans, has given us a conscience to know right and wrong. What's virtuous? What's a vice? You know, maybe you have that thing lingering in your head. I know I do. I have that vice. And it's just like sitting on the shelf. And it just loves to show its ugly head every now and then. And we're praying this morning in Sunday school, Lord, loose us of our vices. Loose us of these things that, how come, Lord, I got saved and you delivered me of some things really quick. Some vices gone. For years, they were part of my makeup and my nature. That vice was gone the first week. But here it is, year 15 of my walk, and there's some baby vices that just will not let go. That sin that so easily besets us. And the concept of virtue. And there is fruit. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want to be someone, as it says in 1 Peter. If we have these things, we won't be barren. We won't be unfruitful. We want to be full and fruitful for the Lord. Is that not your heart's cry? And so I think messages like this simply is just a call to say, take stock. Where am I? What are my vices? What am I struggling with? And just be transparent and honest. We were being transparent in Sunday school. We were just saying some things. Hey, what are you struggling with? I struggle with this. This is what's going on kind of in my life. Some vices. And that affords us to then start praying for each other. And it's huge. Moving on. So we get our wisdom and our virtue from the Bible. Not what our friends say. Not from what Oprah says. Right? Not even from what the president says. We go our right and wrong from the Word of God. You notice here in the previous slide, you don't have to go back, but this is the first thing. It says, add to your faith virtue. It's the first thing. It doesn't go to knowledge right away. It goes right to this concept of knowing right and wrong and putting a line in the sand, if you will. You're saved. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You're right, you're wrong. Add to this new Christian life virtue. Remember when you were first saved? You were just excited. I'm going to heaven. You wanted to tell people. And you just, that sin was, it's disgusting. How could I have ever done that? What was wrong with me? And we kind of become lax sometimes as we get older in our walk. But it's the first thing that we need to be adding to our faith. Virtue. You know, a lot of believers come, they get some faith, and they want to stop right there. I said the prayer, I'm good to go. I'll see you in heaven. It's not how it works. God is saving us. There's verses that talk about that. Yes, we are saved, but He is saving us through a process. And this process of salvation looks like something. It looks like, virtue, knowledge. All these things, as you start to grow, is the process by which, when you look back, hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? You get to heaven, when you look back at your life, you're going to see how God has been working these things into your life. I guarantee it. If you're a Christian here today, these are attributes of a growing Christian. If I don't have these in my life, in Matt's life, you need to walk up to me and say, my friend, are you growing? Because I've noticed that you're kind of backsliding away from these attributes. And I say to you in love, what's the problem? I need to make my calling and election sure. Because, let me say it again, these are attributes. If you're a Christian, as he already says here in verse 3, he has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But we are to, like a lump of clay, work those things into our life. Build it. So it's not a say a prayer, go home, and do what you did yesterday. It's say a prayer, hate my old life, die to myself, and you put on this. Godliness, virtue, brotherly love. Let me say this, as we're still talking about the first concept of what is virtue. Virtue is not an imposed morality. Right? Like, if I'm a Sunday school teacher for kids, all right, little Johnny, all right, you need to be virtuous. All right? And that means this. And so you need to go home and work. You know what that sounds like to me? I mean, no offense, I'm not meaning this. It just from what I've seen and observed in the Catholic religion, it sounds nun-like. Sounds like you do this wrong, I'm going to smack you on the knuckles. We're not imposing it. You know, Constantine did that to his nation. He says, oh, I like this whole Christianity thing. You all better become Christians. So people, okay, just don't hit me. You know, I'll become a Christian. They weren't born again. And so we got to be careful of this balance as we teach these attributes of a Christian to non-believers or kids, that we're not slapping them on the knuckles to say, do this and God will accept you. You see the danger there? These are fruits of things of born-again believers. We have to give them salvation first. What's the first thing? Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. That's what we need to be instructing the new hearer to. Let me move on to my second point, which is examples of virtue. Here's some examples of virtue. Job 31:1, Psalm 103, controlling your eyes. Now these are some good examples that we can see in the Bible that are we can learn from, we can add to our life. Stephen Otterburn, who writes those, being about teenagers and being a godly man, all these things, he uses these kind of things to instruct people who have addictions. You know, these are great things. Control your eyes. Ruth, she resisted the temptation just to marry anyone. She waited. Go figure. In today's day and age, he's cute, we like the same music, let's get married. No, that wasn't it with Ruth. She had some virtue. Jesus himself, he did everything that was virtuous. You want to learn about virtue? Jesus. Proverbs 12:4. The woman builds up her husband instead of making him ashamed. That picture of a godly woman and, you know, God knew we needed women. I thank God for my wife. And a picture of a godly, virtuous woman does not slander her husband, does not talk down to him, but builds him up. It's the same Christian principle, just for a wife and a husband, that we don't use words to break down, but to build up. Virtue. David, again, was a strong man, and he had that manliness. He stood for what was right. Abigail was a strong woman. We see all these examples in Scripture. You know, we talk about David, but David did have a weak moment in his life, didn't he? He was a man after God's own heart, but I think a great example in one story of virtue and of vice is with David and Uriah. You know the story. David should have been at battle. He wasn't. He was hanging out on his roof, right? He saw Bathsheba down there, invited her over. Come on over. We know what happened. He wasn't being virtuous. This was a vice. And then within this vice arose a problem. She gets pregnant. So what's he do? He calls for her husband to come. I'll get him off. Give him a break. He'll like that. And then I'll just kind of have him, I'll finagle him to go down to his, you know, he'll sleep with his wife and that'll be like their baby, not mine. I might have some similarities that look like that child, but no one ever think twice. But that didn't work, did it? Because though David was in the midst of vice, Uriah was practicing virtue. Go ahead, go down. Eat, drink, be merry. At home, by all means. You need a limo ride? I'll take you right to your front door. That's not what he did. He said he stayed with the workers of the palace and slept on the steps. That wasn't his attitude. His attitude, should I go down and enjoy myself when I have my brethren, my fighters, that people I fight with? No. I am not going to dishonor my co-battle, I can't think of the word, soldiers, or the Ark of God, and all these things. He had virtue. And so that's what happens when we start practicing vices. We see somebody else with virtue, we get irritated, and ugly things start to happen. So here you have a great example of virtue in the life of David. And it turned out to be David's ruin. So his plan was to kill Uriah. He decides to murder him. And all this takes place, and we know the rest of the story, how this whole adultery, murder, sunk down into his family, and the dysfunction that followed. All this because, you know, vices, non-virtue. And you have to believe that Uriah was praised by God as one of the great men of the Bible. Why? Because he did have that virtue. You know, we look at comparing and contrasting. One had character. He was a real man in that situation. He had honor, loyalty. He respected. And one was without character. He was a coward. He was a wimp. He was a weasel, a sissy, if you will. A loser. David. You know, for the world, they don't care. They don't care about godliness. This should kind of wake us up to say, I want to be like Uriah in this sense. How can I get this? Can I get it at Walmart? Where do I get these things? Well, you already have it. You get it from God, and you do this. You add to your faith virtue. Because God's already given it everything that pertains to life and godliness. So what is a Christian without virtue? If you're here a Christian, you don't have virtue, what does that look like? Well, first, you're in bondage. All the sins that you thought no one were seeing, you have the fear of getting caught. You have the fear of the judgment seat of Christ when you meet him in those failures. You know, you're going to be in bondage to this. You're going to have fear of getting caught, essentially. You're going to be in danger of David, like what he did, in ruin and defeat. You know, we already have enough enemies in our life as far as the wicked one. Every time we sin, we are just setting up parameters for our own ruin. And this isn't, the devil's just kind of like this. Yeah, he may have tempted you to do it, but when you go out to do it and you perform it, you're just setting up all these, one lie leads to another. You saw the progression of David. It went from covetousness to adultery, right, to murder. So the devil never told David that looking at a naked person would lead to his murder and the death of his son, Absalom. If he would have heard that from the beginning, he may not have went out on the roof. He may have went to the battle where he should have been. So you're in danger of that same ruin every time you step out. You're setting up parameters. Protection from Satan and blessing from God is living a life of inner godly strength and virtue instead of our self-willed muscles, if you will. All these things come from the inner strength. I just think about that balloon. Keep that in your brain. I need pictures sometimes to help me formulate my thoughts. So that balloon really kind of helps me. If I want to expand with God, I need inner God-given strength. Let's move on to how do you improve your virtue? How do you apply this? Now that we've learned a picture of what God has done, some examples of it, what virtue is, how do we actually add this and apply this to our lives? Well, some things I learned. We should first start by hating or loathing our vices and sins. Do you have a sin hatred in your life? Or are you making friends with sin? It's not that big a deal. You know, it's easy. I could sit up here and probably list some things to make you feel guilty in the sense. But I think the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit's job to convict men of sin. And your job to look at, I love Psalm 139. Lord, show me, you ask God, show me if there's any wicked way inside in me. And God will. You think you're doing pretty good, Lord? I have dark places I might not know of in my heart. I might have vices that is slowing me down. Will you show those to me? Psalm 139. He will. He will. If you're sincere about it. So starting by loathing those sins as God reveals them to you. Choosing to do good. Secondly, get lively. Get something in your life. You know, think of what you were practicing before Christ in your life that has slowed you down. Then you become a Christian. You remove that. What are you doing? What am I doing in my life for Christ? You know, I heard a preacher say once, he says, just set up a Kool-Aid stand with some tracks, something. That profound statement by Spurgeon, which he says, you want something to understand what God wants you or wants for you? Do something. Get lively. Get in the ministry. There's ministries in the church. There's these things to add virtue to your life. There's always slots to be filled. And there's no age limit, by the way. I don't see ages 18 to 65. Yeah. I always think about Caleb. I love that Caleb, right? They're handing out the lands in Israel. And he was faithful with the whole, you know, trusting God early on. And he says, where do you want to go? He was an old man. He says, give me the hill country. Here's an old man. He says, I ain't stopping for God. I'm going to take the hill country. I ain't dead yet. That should be our attitudes. Get lively for God. Take your wisdom and apply it in youth. You think Pastor Ryan, who can stay up all night just because he's a young lad, maybe you can't do that, but I guarantee there's other things you can do in the youth that you can sit down in a small group. And I think I told you this before, there was a YouTube video of an 80-year-old guy just talking about his life. He's just, and then back in the 30s, all this happened with my parents. That was the biggest hit video that week. Like, 10 million people saw that video. I'm like, what is the attraction to this old fella talking about his life? Because I think the youth desire it. It's like, there's something about that they're drawn to. You have that. Get lively. Put off the old. Get lively for God. Again, it comes back to the Word of God. Learn the principles and of the people in the Bible. See the examples. God set these things up so that we can learn from these things. You know, if you don't take your time to study your Bible, then you are wasting your time as a Christian. You are wasting your time. If you're going to go on a diet and go to Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast, McDonald's for lunch, and then Hardee's for dinner, you are wasting your time on that diet. Same thing. No word, wasting your time as a Christian. This is our food. And then this whole, it's not like you get a one-time zip. We are to be constantly adding virtue to our way of thinking and living and loving. You know, it's not a one-time goodness shot. Also, love God's laws. Thank God for His rules and His limits on your life. You ever thank God for, you know, sometimes kids can say, why do we have these tight rules? I'm glad that there's these walls. You walk out on the balcony. You know, you go to the top of the Sears Tower now, and they have it's called the Sky View, I think. And you literally can walk out on the top floor on the Sears Tower, or Willis Tower, and you step out in this clear glass. And it looks like you can look down right down the street. It looks like you're floating in your head. So your brain's kind of adjusting to this. And so, my brain was adjusting to that, but I completely forgot the point of where I was going. But maybe you were following me. Apparently I stepped out onto the lever too far, or the loop. So, constantly add. So loving God's law. Yeah, that's where I was going. His rules, these parameters. That the little thing, the ledge, I'm glad there's a bar, lest I fall over. That's where I was going. You can edit that out later. Always looking, and I think, you know, that story in Genesis where God always makes a way of escape, doesn't he? And every temptation. So when you are tempted, there's always going to be a way. You think God's going to lie about that? There's always a way out. And pray for God to make a way through it. I like what Bruce Wilkinson said. He was tired. He was preaching all day. He had a late flight, and this guy in the seat next to him opens up a pornography magazine. He's like, Lord, I don't have the strength right now. And here's the temptation, just to peer over to see what this guy's got. He said, Lord, you help me here. And he says the neatest thing happened. The guy just, for whatever, closed it, put it away. You know, ask God. It's a beautiful thing. You know, do what Joseph did. Just run from it. If you have to get up and go to the bathroom away from that magazine, go. So let me close this up here. The first thing a Christian is to do with this is obviously add to your faith virtue. You get saved, virtue, purity. The old way of living just should not cut it for you. It should be just old hat, disgusting. Your palate should change. I don't like the taste of my old life anymore. That's what being born again is. The old you's passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you're adding this virtue. Now, virtue to your tongue is sweet. It tastes good. And we're adding it to our life. I like what David Jordan said. He says, wisdom is knowing what to do next. Skill is knowing how to do it. And virtue is actually doing it. It's an action. So I would just challenge you in your life, as you're adding virtue, to just don't think of it as, well, I got it. No. These things should cause action in life for the Lord. I have a question for you. Do you have the ability to do what is right and good when all the world says otherwise in any certain circumstance? Say at work. Everybody's doing this thing. Hey, if we just kind of fudge here in this paperwork, we'll get a little extra money. Vice or virtue for you? A family has a situation going on, whatever it is. Everybody is doing the wrong. You know the right. If you fudge, you're going to vice, virtue. Do you have that ability? You might think, well, I'm pretty weak. Right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, the balloon. He is our strength in those situations. So let me come back to it. We get this at Walmart. Do you want to get this tonight? Do you want to add virtue to your life? Well, go to God. Go to God. That's the great start. You go to Him for it. You know, we can pray up here with you. We can take whatever. But we need to be praying and asking God, Lord, I hate the sin in my life. Lord, I hate the fact that I don't want to do what is right with my money. Whatever it is. Do you want to add virtue? You know, the Bible talks and how we are to be exhorting one another to love and good works. You know, so let me exhort you in this way. Before you add another CD to your music collection, before you add another episode of your favorite TV show to your brain, or before you add more of this or that to your collections or hobbies or games, that you would spend time daily adding to your faith virtue? Think about those things. I was challenging my Sunday school. I just said, take a half hour this week of something you normally do, and in its place, move it out of the way. It might be a completely legitimate thing, but just move it out of the way and spend time towards knowing Jesus better in some capacity, in His Word, or prayer, or ministering to somebody. Stepping outside yourself. And it takes a will to do that. You know, it takes a will to do anything. It took you a will to come tonight, right? So it's going to take unction and will to add faith. You're not going to be zapped. And you're going to have to want it. Is your want to right? How does your want to look? If I could do what God does and peer into your heart, is the want to there? Because that's where it starts. And what do they tell alcoholics? That the first thing in defeating alcoholism is that you're going to have to want to change. That's where it starts. And that we have each other for that. We have prayer. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Bible. God has equipped us. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness to get this virtue. So add it to, as my exhortation, replace something this week. Baby step this thing. Replace something and add virtue. Think of something. I like what Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. There's not a zapping. The Bible's talking about meditation. And we know this, I read this earlier. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to do and to will for his good pleasure. And this is a beautiful picture of virtue to me as it goes on. As this, you should be adding to your faith, and as God's already given that mystery of yes, they're both true. Look at in the mystery of yes in Philippians. God's working in you, so work it out. And what's the conclusion? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. If that's not a great definition of virtue, I don't know what is. That we can become blameless, harmless children of God, in a crooked generation, vice, virtue. You can be virtuous in the midst of a crooked generation? Yeah, because you're working these things out with God. Adding the virtue, meditate on God's word. Pray for strength to perform what you've read, and then live it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? So I exhort you to add virtue. If you're having struggles, get with a Christian and pray with them. Again, where do you want to? Can you just get over with already? How much can you talk about this stuff? That's a bad want-to meter. Right? If I'm talking just to talk, that's a problem. But if I'm exhorting you to put on virtue, I'd want to be listening. I want more of God. I'm done. But if you need to pray, there's people to pray, whether it's here, whether it's in the hall, whatever. Get to God, pray for strength, that your balloon may expand you, and you can be great and bear much fruit for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truths in your word, that this is the first step as we come to faith in Jesus, that we are to be putting on excellence and fortitude. And you have given us examples all through your word of what vice looks like and what virtue looks like. And may we just drop to our knees and exclaim the fact that we can do nothing without you. So whether it's in a private heart moment with you or if it's Christians gathering together in prayer, I pray that we as a church just come together and we ask you corporately and individually to add to us virtue. We're asking. You tell us that we have not because we ask not. We see the need of it. We want it. God, give it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.